pleasure to reflect together on a really important topic that I look around this table and I see that we're all doing this, and yet I could speak for myself. It's an area, like the Gemara says in Brachos, that requires attention, you could say, and that is tefillah, davening. We're davening every day, three times a day. We're saying lots of words, some of which we understand, some of which we don't understand, but we're saying lots of words. And the question is, what kind of a spiritual experience is davening for us? So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to tackle three different pieces, three different thoughts as they relate to tefillah. And tonight we're going to focus really on one small section of the Sefer that is Xerox in front of you. In 1939, there was a man, a great rabbinic figure of the 20th century, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook. So he's living in Israel, and he publishes a siddur. This is what I have in front of me here. The siddur is the siddur tefillah that was arranged by his late father, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook, with a pirush, with a commentary on the bottom. Rav Cook died in 1935, and over the course of several years, Rav Tzvi Yehuda was arranging and organizing this siddur, which was called, the pirush is called Olas Ria, or Olas Raya. Resh Aleph Yud Hei stands for Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen. So that's the giveaway. And he says that, you know, I put together different ideas that Rav Cook wrote. Rav Cook was a prolific writer, in different places in his writings, and I collected them as an introduction to this siddur. Rav Cook himself did not write this introduction, but Rav Tzvi Yehuda collected these pieces from Rav Cook, and he introduced them to us in the beginning of the siddur. So he has a hakdama here, in Yonei Tfila, and the first section of the hakdama, which is several sections long, is called Hatfila Hamasmeres Shel HaNeshama. The constant tefila of the neshama. So this is already the deep end of the swimming pool, and I'm hanging in the shallow, but we'll try, ad kama de'efshar, to approach a little bit of the lofty ideals that Rav Cook is talking about in terms of tefila. So tonight we're going to focus on this little section with the letter Beis. Says Rav Cook, Ein hatfila ba'a ketikuna. Tfila does not come according to its appropriate, the best, proper way. Ki im mitoch hamachshava, except from the mindset, shebe'emes, that in truth, haneshama hitamid mispalelas, that the neshama is always davening. That's what we want to talk about. Let's first focus actually on the word tamid. What does the word tamid mean?
Always.
Always. Constantly. Now, constantly could mean two things, according to the Gemara in Menachos. One thing that tamid could mean, it could mean 21:31.
Gotcha.
What is 21:31 a reference to?
Cal.
There we go. Cal Ripken. 21:31, uninterrupted, unbroken series of games played. So on one level, the word tamid means uninterrupted. And the context there is the bread, the lechem aponim, which is every day there's going to be lechem aponim there. That's one meaning of the word tamid. It's constant. Okay, it's good. But then there's another level. And it doesn't mean that there is a consistent, unbroken streak, but rather it means this is something which is literally ongoing. That's the alternative the Gemara discusses. Do you know, according to this, you know how they used to serve the lechem aponim on the table in the Beis HaMikdash? They had to have two kohanim. One would take the old bread and pull it off, while the other one would move the new bread on. Why?
Always there.
It's tamid, meaning ever-present. When Rav Kook talks now about the neshama is always davening, he means the second tzad. So let's appreciate what that means for a second. One phrase, ha-neshama tamid mispalachas, tamid. So in Olam Hazeh, in our world, in the corporeal world in which we live, there are cycles. There are economic cycles. So I don't know anything about finance, but I believe there's something called a bear market and a bull market, correct? And that operates cyclically. So that's one kind of cycle. But there are other kinds of cycles that are more inherent. So for example, a cell phone. So when Apple manufactures their Apple iPhone X, what is their anticipation for that cell phone? How long do they anticipate that you're going to have that cell phone for?
A year or two.
And then what's going to happen?
Until they sell iPhone 11.
Right. Right? They know that Meirosh, right? You could argue, and I don't know, I shouldn't speak for them. I suspect that they probably plan for that. They choose and they arrange and orient the product and the layout of the product and the design of the product and then the sale of the product with the knowledge, the understanding that this product is going to have a certain shelf life by design and then there's going to be a new one. Why is it that the 2018 model year car is not good for 2019? Because in Olam Hazeh, everything operates in cycles. There's a period of when you have something, when it's a new cell phone, when it's the latest, and then over time, by design, it changes, it diminishes, and then you need to refill that cycle, right? We all get that. I'm sure in the business world, that's something that people are very attuned to, that things are cyclical, right? And that they're cyclical by design. There's no way to get out of that. That comes back to something that's very amok, very deep in the human condition, the way the Ribbono Shel Olam made us. Perhaps in the following frame. If you were to ask somebody, what is the most basic human activity? So basic that it's even shared with animals. And our goal, therefore, just parenthetically, is to raise ourselves above that in a spiritual life. So the Rambam would tell you, oh great, I'm going to make a book about those things. I'm going to call them the Book of Kedusha, because these are the most basic things that people do that they have in common with animals that we're going to try to raise up to a level of Kedusha. But they are what sustain us on a basic level, basic, almost biological level, every day. That's our physical world. So what would that include?
Eating.
Right, sleeping. There are no halachas really about sleeping, but eating. So the Rambam includes in Hilchos Kedusha macholas asuros, foods, and reproduction. Isuri bia. So it's macholas asuros, and shechita goes with that, and isuri bia, physical intimacy. I would ask, is it coincidental that the Ribbono Shel Olam fashioned us that the things which are most base about us are cyclical? Meaning, a person is hungry, and then we eat, and then we're not hungry anymore. But then after a while, the food wears off, the calories burn, and then we get hungry again, and then we eat again, and the chahena goes around in a circle. The same way that there is a physical attraction and a desire, and then there is arousal, and then there is release, and then there's no more desire, and then it comes around in a circle again, right? It's a circle. Both of these have that same cycle. The person is not in a constant state of hunger because they're full at a certain point, both of these physical necessities. They're also never in a state of perpetual fullness, right? There is a period of when we are filled and then it drops off. Is that by accident? Or that's the nature of this world, that there is something which is full, and then there is something that's empty. And it's constantly a cycle. There's nothing that is a davar shalem. Can anybody ever say that this physical entity is shalem? There's never going to be a better mousetrap. There's never going to be a better phone. There's never going to be a state in which I'm not going to be hungry. At some point, there's going to be a lack. That's part of the experience of Olam Hazeh.
Unless it's half full.
Right. Isn't that the truth? At least that's when we think about life on a basic level, that's what's happening. And yet, contrast that with spirituality. Is that the same experience? Is it that we are full of spirituality and then we just kind of like, we had enough spirituality and now we're not spiritual anymore and then we're going to get, that's not how it is. If a person is tapped into spirituality, the spirituality is an unceasing flow. It's like a current. And the question is mitzidenu, are we tapped in or are we not tapped in? But it's not about us, right? Mitzidenu, we have to tap in. But when it comes to ruchnius, it's a constant. Did we ever think about that? That we have to step in to spirituality, but when we do, somehow it's always there. How could that be? It's an amazing thing. It's like a current in the wall. You may be plugged in, you may not, but the current, as long as the power is on, the current is always there. So this idea that Olam Hazeh, that physical life, is different than Ruchnius, can be contrasted between the cyclical experience of having and not having versus the neshama that's always burning. The spirit, the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is never ceasing. When does a person's physical connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu cease? When they call the number, right? After 120. But until that point, that neshama, that Elokai neshama, has to be there. What happens if the doctors take a person, put them on the table, cut them up into 100 pieces, and then sew them back together? It won't help because the spiritual energy has left that person. So unlike physical experiences, which go in cycles, spiritual energy is a constant. It's always there. It's always there for us to grab onto, for us to hold onto, but it's also always within us. It's a constant in our lives. So now, this word Tamid that Rav Kook puts out there takes on a huge level of meaning. He says the neshama is tamid mispaleles. The neshama is always davening. So what does it mean that it's always davening? It means that the neshama is not in a cycle of being close to God and then it kind of falls away from God and then, you know, it gets back. No, no, no. Inside, we have a neshama which is constant. It's not cyclical. It's always connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaNeshama Tamid Mispaleles. It means it's a never-exhausting reservoir, which is an amazing thing to think about, right? A person at some point will say, even at, you know, yesterday, Nechama had the privilege of going to New York to celebrate a cousin's wedding. So she said, oh, she knows that maybe I have a soft spot for Shtickel Gashmius on occasion. She said, that Shmorg, you should have been there. But once in a while, even Mamish, the best Shmorg, you say, Ad Kan, enough.
Not in New York.
There's a reservoir. There's a reservoir, and that reservoir, you know, cannot be filled. But that's because it's cyclical. Because there's a cycle. There's, you know, the gas tank is full and then it goes down to empty. But in Ruchnius, in the world of Tamid, there's no such thing. Is there ever such a thing that a person, there's no more ruchnias for them to draw on. Impossible. The neshama is a source of ruchnias in our lives that's never ending. You never have to worry, it's going to say, you know what, one more lamb chop and then I'm going to walk away because I have no more room. It's not possible in the world of ruchnias. Because, again, it's the difference between cyclical, full and empty, versus Ein Sof. The neshama is or Ein Sof. It's connected to the Ribono Shel Olam, so there is never an end. That tamid. So that's, I think, the first step when we think about davening, is that, wait a second. There is a ner Hashem nishmas Adam. There is a spiritual dimension to us, which is always there. The light is always on. They'll leave the light on for us, mamish, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, that that life never goes away.
I mean, there's some people who have, you look at, you're like, this person has a special shema.
Okay.
There are other people who are not as special.
So, great question. What would you guys say? Is it that somebody has a more special neshama and a less special neshama?
No, they're more connected.
What's that?
They're able to connect with it better.
Right. Possibly, but every person isn't the same. I mean, not everybody can be Moshe Rabbeinu, and not every, yes, we all, I guess in theory, you might say they asked you, you could have been the best of Carl.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that my neshama, I could have tapped into the same potential as somebody else, their neshama.
So I guess it depends how you look at it. So what Dov is pointing out is that different people have different neshamas. But is it a quantitative question that, well, neshama number one has 98 capacity and neshama number two has 47 capacity? Or is it that different neshamas are rooted in different places and each one has their own special connection? So it's not a question of, you know, more or less. And it's true. I would say that there are a lot of people that we meet in life who we could tell they're a special neshama. Oftentimes what we mean to say is they've gotten their goof out of the way and we sense their neshama when we talk to them. And that could be true of all of us. And yet we face the challenge of, you know, the neshama being buried. But my point is, on this, on the Talmud point, is that whatever kind of neshama we have, that, right, that is there on an unbroken level. That spiritual spark exists. Yeah.
Okay. So this is a little counterintuitive. Yeah. Here's what I mean by that. Is I think of the spiritual cycle is also highly cyclical with multiple cycles going between. And what I mean by that is we just came out of a, you know, big season where our connection to Rosh Hashanah was different than it is now. And once a week, our connection is different than it is today, tonight.
Beautiful.
So it seems like there's multiple cycles within the spiritual realm.
So great. So what's the ha'ara? That we do feel that spirituality is cyclical. We're coming off of an amazing tekufa. So what we might consider is that cycle mitzad our neshama, or is it mitzad us and our ability to get closer and further? It's how, it's how, right, it's like, right, it's like, I don't know what a good mashal for this is. In a certain sense, maybe the mashal is like certain planets that when they revolve around the sun is static. But the planet, as it gets closer, it gets warmer. And then when it gets farther, it gets colder. But the sun is the same. We have the ability to tap into the spiritual life all year round. And what I would argue is that the spiritual core is the same. Now, as Dov pointed out before, it doesn't mean that my spiritual core is the same as everybody else's and yours is not the same as his, but the spiritual core is a constant. And maybe what the Ribono Shel Olam is doing for us is that because we're so used to a cyclical Olam Hazeh, so what he's going to do is do us a favor and give us little opportunities to become more engaged, but what's going on is all the time. And this is why this line from Rav Kook is so powerful. Because what Rav Kook is saying is that you should know deep down inside your neshama is that Shema Yisrael of Ne'ila, 24/7.
Right, doesn't have to be Rosh Hashanah.
24/7. It's just that we don't dig down that far. We're not in touch with that. So it doesn't feel like Kol Nidre every day. But the crazy thing is, and you could even ask yourself, recently I actually took myself in hand for 10 seconds before Mincha, and I asked myself the following question. Why can't this be a great Mincha? Like, why can't it? The Halakha Pia Setzner, Shem Yikom Tov L'Zechus Yogan Aleinu, he writes in his diary, he says, you know, I don't know why people at Shalosh Shudos are not as inspired as they are on Yom Kippur. That's what he writes in his diary. Because he says, if we really realize the height, the apex of Kedusha that we are, and the Rava D'Rabban of Shalosh Shudos, which is why I tried to learn with my kids at that time, what could be more Gebaldik? Halavai, should be open. Says that's like the Kedusha of Yom Kippur. But we don't feel it. We're not paying attention to it. So what is Rav Kook telling us now? He says the ideal tefillah is mitoch hamachshava shebe'emes ha'neshama hitamin mispalelis. Our soul is always davening because the soul, it comes in the Olam of Ruchnius. And in the Olam of Ruchnius, it's not, well, today's a very spiritual day and tomorrow, not so much. It's always the height of Ruchnius. It's always the height of spirituality. It's just deep down in the reservoir. You got to drill down to get it. Sometimes it's easier to drill. Sometimes it's harder. Sometimes you come with like the Gesunte, one of those enormous machines. When they have, God forbid, a rescue mission from some miners who are down underneath the rock. So what do they come? They come with an enormous drill. And you go hundreds and hundreds of feet into rock that you could never have pierced before. So that's a Seris Mechuva. That's the biggest guns you got. And you're going to go deep down till you drill into the neshama. But Rav Kook is saying that our neshama is always davening. Halohi afa umistrapekes al doda. It's always flying and reaching to its beloved, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, below Hefsek, without stopping. Ella, shebe'is hatfila, at the time of tefila hama'asit, when we practically daven, hatfila hanishmasis hatadiris, the constant personal spiritual tefila that's inside our soul on an ongoing basis, that he nizgala befo'al. It's revealed. It's not that I'm going through my life and I have to stop once a day to express an idea of spirituality. It's that, no. The whole day, there's a spiritual core that is now all of a sudden being unleashed. It's deep within. There is an idea, the Baal HaTanya talks about this, the Alter Rebbe. Yaakov Chevel Nachla, so every Jew has a cord that stretches between us, Kiviyachal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can look at it like this, you can look at it like this. We are attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is an unbroken bond through which the spiritual nourishment that we receive comes to us through the mitzvahs, the Masim Tovim, the Torah, the Ruchnius. That is what keeps us connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is never ending, never ceasing. So this connection is the phrase Rav Kook used, is the davening of the soul. What do we say? Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. What happens to the energy of a ner? Where does it go? Right? You light a candle, it goes up. So if you put your finger on top of it, you could burn your hand, even if you don't see the light. It's because the energy is being drawn up. So our soul is like a candle, where the energy is always reaching higher back to the spiritual realm. That is the image of our soul on a constant basis. That is what it means, perhaps, when Rav Kook says, according to our level of understanding, the neshama is always davening. The neshama is always reaching up. So to conclude, we could talk more about Arichos a different time, about appreciating the word neshama, but the word tamid, we understand now that it's not cyclical like this world. It's a constant. There's an unbroken flame, an unbroken chain, but now I also understand what the word tefillah means. What do we say it looks like when the candle is burning? The energy, it's reaching, it's almost like it's grasping or channeling or trying to achieve something or get somewhere. It's almost like the flame has a dream of going back somewhere, going higher. It's drawn there. Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, man, Re'o fanecha lo filalti. I never dreamed I would see your face. The word filah means to dream. It means to aspire, means to reach for something. So the neshama is tamid mispalalis. It's always dreaming. It's always thinking of, I never met my neshama, so I can't speak definitively, but I can imagine the neshama is dreaming of the world of the ruchni, of the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ra'o fanecha lo filolti. The neshama's lefalel is to say, the spirituality that exists in the Or Ein Sof, that's what it's dreaming of. So what happens when we daven? It's our opportunity. Lehispalel, to dream for us. To let the neshama that's inside of us, that's looking for nourishment, that is not being nourished by a shmorg. It's not to say that there's no place. Very good place, Baruch Hashem. But the nourishment of the neshama is coming from something much higher. So the neshama, says Rav Kook, is always mispalel, is always dreaming of something spiritual. So what happens when we daven? We put away all the physical stuff and we just say, we're going to take a few minutes to spiritually dream. We're going to let the dreams that we have inside of ruchnius, of values, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Or Ein Sof, we're going to let that express itself. If that's the frame of davening, halavai, we should be zocha to that. Halavai, I should be able to, in my own davening, incorporate that. Think about what a completely and wholly different, with a W, experience davening would be. Because what we're saying is, we're actually going to take a break, and we're going to plug into the inner core of ourselves, of who we really are, which is an energy that is reaching up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for godliness. We're going to tap into that. It's like one of those electric cars that plugs in to its home charger. It's an amazing concept. So now, the words that we say are just chitzonius expressions of what we're really feeling deep down. Some of them are shevach, praise. Some of them are bakasha, asking. Some of them are just conversation. But our neshama is looking for a conversation. It's looking to reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we say, all right, you know, tomorrow morning at 7, that's going to be our chance. Before we start our day, let's let our neshama, let's just let it loose. Let it express its hopes for the day. What our neshama's hopes are for the day. What are the things that deep down are really our ratzon, are setting our agenda for the day? Says Rav Kook, that tefillah is tamid. It's always, it's constant. And our goal is to tap into it. So when we think about our davening, and we'll stop now for Maariv, what does it mean to daven Maariv? It means at the end of the day, when we're tired, when all is said and done, when everything is put away, we look to the Ribbono Shel Olam and we say, okay, you gave us another day. Here's how I hope my day went. Here's how I look forward to my next day. Because these are the things that are important to me. These are the things that I'm dreaming about. I'm dreaming that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should give me das to be able to have good relationships. Not because I'm looking for a physical relationship. I'm looking for being whole with my soul. And my soul in this world needs good relationships. My soul needs to be connected to Klal Yisrael, to the Jewish people, to Israel. Before I go to sleep, you know what? It's really important for me to say, I love you. Ava Rabba, Ava Solom. This is my neshama, and I'm going to give voice to my neshama to say, Ava Solom. I love you. Good night. That's what davening Maariv is. It's the opportunity that we have for us to just let our soul speak for a few minutes. Because our soul has been speaking all day. We just haven't, we haven't tapped into it. And so perhaps this can be an example of this tamidus, this tamidus, this tamidus, the consistent tefillah that the neshama has, and we can carry that through our tefillahs and realize we're not actually interrupting our day to daven, we're actually stopping everything else and tapping into our real core for what goes on all the time, constantly, that our neshama is really davening, it's misfalo, it is connecting and reaching back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Better time to daven than now? Probably not. That's right. All right, let's marav.